Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson, which has already been read, and the title for our meditation this morning is Seeing the Way Jesus Sees. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved in the Lord, there is an ancient Greek historian named Herodotus. He wrote a book of history. It's been cleverly entitled The History. And early on in this history, he talks about a time where this man, Solon of Athens, visits Croesus of Sardis, and Croesus pulls out all the stops and shows him his great, abundant wealth. It is magnificent. And Croesus thinks this is a good time to pose this question to Solon, who's visited all over the world. And he says, in your experience, who is the most blessed of all? And Solon says, oh, that's easy. His name's Tellus. Tellus was a ruler of a city that was in a good state. He had good sons. They were good looking. He was able to see his grandchildren, and in fact, he died magnificently in battle, defeating the enemy. That man's blessed. Well, obviously, Croesus is fishing for a compliment, right? And so he says, all right, he's number one. Who's number two? And Solon says, well, that's probably Cleobus and Bittern. These are two brothers who performed a great feat of athleticism. They also died in the effort, and there was two statues dedicated in their honor. They're blessed. And by this time, Croesus is thinking, what has a guy got to do to get cred for being blessed with all the wealth that I have? Here's what Solon says. The one who is uncrippled and healthy, without evils to afflict him, and with good children and good looks, and if in addition to all this he shall end his life well, he's the man you seek, the one who is worthy to be called blessed. So that's the ancient take, at least one person's take on being blessed. And I would think that today in our modern world, people would hear that, and maybe they disagree on some of the details, but they would agree with the sentiment of what it means to be blessed. But here today, you heard Jesus say this, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the ones who are merciful, the ones who are pure in heart, the ones who are peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. No one talks this way, but Jesus does. Jesus sees the blessed life differently than everyone else in all creation. Maybe that's why we should listen to him. This text is famously referred to as the, anybody know? Beatitudes. At least one person gets an A for the day. And here in the Beatitudes, when Jesus talks about these blessings, he's actually, you should hear these words as an invitation to see, not with your own eyes, not by experience, but to see by faith. Jesus is inviting us to judge life not on the basis of our circumstances, but on the basis of our Savior. Because what we see and what is true is almost two different, it's two different things, but maybe on the same side of the coin. Or here, let me put it this way. Here's an illustration. If you've ever seen needlepoint work, like, I don't know, cross stitch or side stitch or whatever it is you call, taking thread and using it on cloth in such a way where you create this beautiful picture. And sometimes these pictures are ornate and detailed. And you look at the top of that cloth, and it is beautiful. But if you look below the cloth, it ain't so pretty. It's a mess. The thread that you see looks like it doesn't have any purpose. There's threads that are cut, there's threads that are made knots of, and it's just not really pretty. But those threads that you do see were necessary for what's on top. So here's the thing. We can only see from below. We see the mess, we see the difficulty, we see the heartache and the struggle, and here in the Beatitudes, Jesus is giving us a glimpse of what it looks like from above. You with me? See, here, from our vantage point below, we see those who are poor in spirit. But Jesus knows what God is actually doing, and he says, actually, those are the ones who receive the kingdom of heaven from God. We see those who mourn, but Jesus sees what God is weaving together, and he says, actually, those people are comforted. We see the meek, and Jesus says, actually, what you need to know is those people are the ones who inherit the earth. That's what's happening here in these so-called Beatitudes. Jesus is inviting us to see the way that he sees, which means he's inviting us to live by faith. I'd like to look at just one of these Beatitudes as practice for looking by faith. Let's look at what our Lord says when he speaks. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, Lutherans, be careful here, because we are prone to hear Jesus' words as meaning those who are looking for forgiveness and the righteousness that God declares to us, that sinners are declared righteous by God. And we think that because that is a biblical teaching, that is a central teaching, that is necessary for the faith. However, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. When Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he's talking about people who aren't looking to be forgiven, they're looking to be actually free from sin. They don't want to be innocent simply because they've been pardoned, but they want to be innocent because they've actually lived the life that is pleasing to God. They want to live not by mercy from the law. Their longing to desire, or their desire is to actually be able to keep the law. And that doesn't feel very blessed. Actually, that hurts. That's a struggle. It feels horrible. And to put this in perspective, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that is a difficult maybe topic for for us are a controversial topic, but it is a topic I think that we Christians need to hear to get some perspective. So what I want you to think about is especially what's happening today in this present besetting struggle with same-sex attraction. There are people who have this temptation, this attraction, and it is a struggle for them. And this feeling is sometimes very strong. And they are ashamed and they feel guilty, especially when they fail, when they succumb to it. And the world looks at them, and here's what worldly wisdom says. Worldly wisdom says that those people are to be lamented, that they're cursed, because it would be better just to embrace it. Follow your desires. And if you're struggling, worldly wisdom says that person's cursed. There are Christians who will say that person is cursed. There are Christians who will say that dealing with that temptation is unique from all other temptations, and that temptation, that struggle, separates you from God and you're lost. There are even Christians who will call those who are struggling with homosexuality cursed. Do you know what Jesus says? He says, they're blessed. We only see from below, we see the heartache and the struggle. But from above, Jesus says, Jesus sees that those who are hurt, those who are ashamed, those who desire moral perfection but can't obtain it, they will be satisfied. They're blessed. So I came by today to tell somebody that what Jesus is talking about here, this struggle is the life of a Christian. Now I know this teaching isn't for everyone, because there are some who aren't struggling. There are those who, I mean, they know they're not perfect, but they're doing okay. They're satisfied. They read their Bibles. They come to church. They've got it together. Okay, fine. Here's the thing. I'm not preaching to the liars. I am preaching to the be real Christians who know that on this side of the cloth, we're still struggling. We are still ashamed. We are haunted by our past sins. We are humiliated by our present struggles. It's a mess. And I'm here today to tell someone that I know you're not yet satisfied, but you will be. You will be. And in the meantime, while you long to be free from the presence of sin, you are free from the penalty of sin. You are forgiven. You are accepted by Christ, reconciled to the Father. You are loved by the Holy Spirit. You are celebrated by angels. You are full-fledged members of God's family. For right now, you're not satisfied, but you will be. And Jesus says that you are blessed. It's at this point, I just want to acknowledge something, though. the certainty that those who are looking below at the mess, the certainty that you are blessed, comes from Jesus' word and his alone. All you have to go on, actually, is Jesus' word. In this life, you might have all kinds of different voices. There will be all signs pointing to your life is a mess, not blessed. Your life is cursed. And those voices might actually be from people who are very close to you and who tell you you're not worthy. Those voices actually might come from yourself when you look at your life and your struggles and say, I am not worthy, I am cursed. But here's the thing. That's what every other voice is saying, but every other voice lies. There is only one voice in this world who speaks the truth. One man who speaks with no self-interest. One man who speaks the God-honest truth, even if it kills him, and it does. Your Lord Jesus, he's seen both sides of the cloth. Your Lord Jesus has seen the underside. He's seen the mess. He's seen what the violence of hateful people can do. He has seen true shame, even the shame of the cross. He has seen hell itself. He's seen the inside of the tomb. And yet, by his perfect, obedient life, his full sacrifice, he's come through on the other side of the cloth. And he has seen what God is weaving. He has seen life eternal. He has seen glory that can't be described. He sees what God is doing and how it changes everything, and it makes all things good and all things beautiful. And today, this Jesus who sees the beauty of what God is doing from above comes down to us below. And he says, you're not going to believe the wonders of what God is accomplishing for you in your life and for the world. Jesus' word might be the only word that you have that tells you that there is hope and that you are blessed. That's okay, because it turns out his word is the only one that matters. So now listen, I know that it's hard to live by faith. I know it's hard to trust the word of Jesus alone. But you're not alone. And I do need to say on this day, that's why we celebrate All Saints Day. See, there are people of God who've gone before you. And the viewpoint of their lives from below was not pretty. It was a mess. They struggled. They sinned. They had a lot to regret. And yet, God has taken them from below, and now they see on the other side of the cloth. They see that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness hunger and thirst no more. They experience that. They experience God himself wiping away every tear from their eyes. and they're just on the other side of the cloth. Sometimes it sounds like they are so close, closer than we think. I find it interesting that in the first reading today, when John gets this glimpse, he gets this vision of heaven and the comfort that the saints receive. I find it interesting that he gets this glimpse from above on the other side in the context of worship. We're told at the beginning of John that it was the Lord's day, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, John is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and that's the Bible's way of saying he's at worship. And there in worship, God gives him a glimpse of the beauty on the other side of the cloth. And here we are today in worship. And here today, you heard angelic voices from above. It turns out it was the choir. And they sang, "When the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong." Listen to what the choir reminded you. We're not alone. Already, those who are on the other side sing the triumph song. Can you hear it? Can you hear the songs that we sing here in worship, songs of the angels and the saints of old? Can you hear as we sing in the presence of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven? Can you hear as we gather around the very throne of the Lamb and the saints who've gone before are around that same throne? Because that's what's going on. And I know it is hard to live by faith in God's word alone. But you're not alone. You know, the choir isn't the only angelic voices you heard today. You also heard the voices of children of this congregation. And it is not by accident that they sang verse 3. "Oh, may thy soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold." As they were singing, what did you see? Did you see your child? Did you see some adorable little people? What's on the other side of the cloth? What does heaven see? They see soldiers lined up in front of you. Were soldiers who even now fight against the devil and the world and their own sin. More than that, you saw victors. You saw people of God who win and who even now are being fitted for crowns of gold. And so it goes for you and for all people who have longed for Christ's appearing, who live not by what they see or think, but by what they hear from Jesus. Beloved, you are blessed. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.